Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Brian Lehrer's Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Tuesday, March 10th. I'm Ilya Marritz, a reporter from the WNYC Newsroom and the co-host of the Trump Inc. podcast, filling in today for Brian. And in case you're worried, he's fine, he's healthy, but he worked a very long day yesterday, and tonight he's hosting a national call-in show about the mid-March primaries. So he's taking a few hours off this morning and should be back in your podcast feed tomorrow. For now, let's hit the campaign trail. Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders face off again today in primary elections in six states: Missouri, Washington, Michigan, North Dakota, Mississippi, and Idaho, as the last two men standing in the race for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination. Biden is trying to cement his lead in the delegate count, which he established on Super Tuesday. Sanders needs to reverse what for him was a disappointing performance and show that he is still a contender. And though six states are voting today, one state is really considered the big prize here, and that's Michigan. So let's talk about the race now and what's at stake with Holly Bailey, Washington Post national political reporter, and Stephen Henderson, host of Detroit Today from Detroit Public Radio. Holly, Stephen, welcome to WNYC.
Hey.
Good morning.
Holly, I want to start with you. I know you're in Arizona now, but you were just in Michigan and you're a national political reporter. Why is Michigan considered the big prize today?
Michigan was a important state for Bernie Sanders in 2016. He surprised everybody and defeated Clinton there with help from white working class voters, a lot of supporters in Western Michigan. Tonight, it's the biggest prize on the table tonight, 125 delegates, and it's really going to test if Sanders can deliver on everything he's been saying he can, that he can expand the electorate with African-American voters, that he can turn out younger voters and that sort of thing. But we've seen a lot of strength in recent days from Joe Biden, who has obviously done very well with African-American voters in early states to date. And he's really kind of benefiting from the coalition that we saw help Democrats win in the midterms in 2018, specifically a lot of suburban women and voters like that. And so that's the sort of dynamics that we're looking at tonight.
And so, Stephen, you are in Michigan. Are you in Detroit?
I am.
Have you been to a polling place yet this morning? And what are you seeing?
I still need to go to the polls. but I am, of course, hearing from lots of people who've been at the polls or are working at the polls about what's going on. And I'm keeping my eye mostly today on turnout here in Detroit, which, of course, is always important, but I think is the key to both Biden and Sanders, but perhaps more Biden than Sanders, this idea of black voters and what support they have for Joe Biden. Will they show up in numbers that look like 2012 when Barack Obama was on the ballot for the second time? Or will they show up in numbers like they did in 2016 when Hillary Clinton was facing Donald Trump and 20,000 voters who had cast ballots in Detroit in 2012 sat home?
Uh-huh. So in a way, each candidate is sort of trying to prove a different thing with a different demographic. Biden wants to show that he really is solid with black voters. And Bernie wants to show that this thing that happened 4 years ago in Michigan with white working class voters, which is so exciting to Democrats, the idea that they can reclaim some of those voters, Bernie needs to show that he's going to do well with them.
Yeah. Well, that's true. There's another dimension to Bernie Sanders' win here in 2016, though. And we were talking about it on our show here yesterday with us, with the publisher of the Arab American News, which is a publication in Dearborn. We have the second largest Muslim population here in Detroit in the country. And a lot of those voters were really attracted to Bernie Sanders 4 years ago, as were lots of Latino voters. And we have a very sizable Latino population here in Southeast Michigan in the city of Detroit. that dynamic, the difference between those voters and old line Democratic constituencies like African Americans in Detroit is one of the other things that we're, I think, keeping our eye on here today. Is does that play out the same way it did 4 years ago and help Bernie Sanders perhaps either do better here or win? Or does the strength of those sort of more old line Democratic constituencies just overwhelm those newer voters and voters who the party has not always been able to count on to actually show up at the polls?
And based on the conversations you've been having this year in Dearborn and with people in the Latino community, what do you think is going to happen?
Bernie Sanders is very popular in those communities, and I don't think there's any question that he will win those constituencies. It's going to come down to turnout and numbers. Can they hold their own against these other constituencies that Joe Biden has energized over the last few weeks? We've seen Joe Biden here in Detroit a couple times. He is really, really pushing that connection with Black voters. He is really trying to kind of reassemble the Obama coalition, so to speak, as a way of winning. And if he can get the turnout that he expects, I think he absolutely can almost run away with the contest here in Michigan. But again, he's got to get those voters to show up today.
Holly, I know you're in Michigan, but you've been in Michigan. And as a national political reporter, your job is basically to parachute into a new place every few weeks or even every few days and have conversations with voters. Tell me a little bit about your itinerary in Michigan and what you've already been hearing from people in Arizona. Is there anything in common between those two very different states?
Well, in recent days, I spent a lot of time with Bernie Sanders because he just went all in on Michigan. He had a big rally in downtown Detroit. He went to Grand Rapids, which is where I spent a lot of time, and then went to Ann Arbor and then went back to Detroit. He really kind of, and they assembled all of their staff from other states and really kind of, the campaign kind of pushed back on the fact that it's make or break, but everything that they were doing was suggesting just the level of importance in this state. I was really struck in Grand Rapids. I mean, it's an area that Donald Trump is really focused heavily on. He narrowly defeated Clinton there in 2016. It was the last stop of his tour in 2016 as the GOP nominee, and then he's been back several times since because it's very clearly going to be a battleground area in 2020. And Bernie Sanders turned out around 7,000 people, a broad kind of coalition of people, young voters, old voters, voters of color. And I was struck by the fact that, Biden didn't really do much. He, kind of held an event there on Monday morning that was not open to the public. And so it's sort of the dynamics of what Sanders was doing versus what Biden was doing was very striking. And a lot of local Democrats were kind of scratching their heads. They think that Biden will do very well in that area, mainly because, he's better liked than Hillary Clinton was. But they are also kind of wondering if this is a foreshadowing of something perhaps dangerous if he's the nominee and that he's not going to be having a lot of events on the ground there and really fighting for an area that Donald Trump has gone all in on. And so that was sort of one of the dynamics that really struck me.
So that's really a paradox that you could have one campaign that's really turning people out and cranking the enthusiasm and another campaign that has just sort of soft support, but maybe that soft support is broad enough that it wins the day.
It is, and the Biden campaign has really pointed to the fact, especially in light of their electoral wins in recent days, that they kind of have these sort of silent majorities of people who maybe don't turn out to a campaign rally or don't have a sign in front of their house, but are betting on Biden as somebody who's electable against Donald Trump, and somebody they know and trust. And so that's the sort of the backdrop of this, but it is striking. I think the bigger question, you know, facing the Biden campaign, if he does ultimately win the nomination, is how you do convert all these people who have been turning out by the thousands for Bernie Sanders at these rallies, not just in Michigan, but across the country. I mean, there were people that had signs at the Michigan rallies, young voters who had signs, handmade signs that said, please don't make me vote for Joe Biden. So that is sort of the next step, I think, of something to think about in this race, of what does Biden, it's beyond sort of assembling the Obama coalition. It's sort of trying to turn off these voters who aren't very excited about him as a candidate.
And we have a tweet coming in from Hollerback reporting on what's actually happening on the ground in Michigan. At 10 a.m., Hollerback says, 60 people had voted at Precinct 150 in Cass Corridor, Detroit. Very dense district. That turnout is very low. Not a good sign for Bernie. Stephen, I don't know the Cass Corridor area of Detroit. Is that a correct read on what's happening?
It's not a bad read. That's actually a precinct right here where the radio station is here the public radio station is here in Detroit. It's literally around the corner from where I'm sitting, and this is an area of the city where you would expect to see lots of young, energized voters coming to the polls for Bernie. So there's no question that's what you would be looking for today. I tweeted back at that person that I think one of the questions, again, is how many people are voting absentee here in Michigan? In 2018, we went to the polls and changed voting rules here in Michigan pretty substantially. We adopted any reason absentee voting, so you don't have to prove that you're not available to vote on election day. You can just get an absentee ballot if you want one. We also approve same day registration, so you don't have to register in advance. And the number of absentee ballots that was requested this spring is off the charts. It's 900,000 ballots were requested.
Wow.
And the Secretary of State told me this morning that 800,000 ballots, absentee ballots, have been cast.
Huh.
So that could explain some of the low turnout that we're seeing in some of the precincts, that people have just already voted. But it could also be that those voters who said that they were really excited about voting for Bernie Sanders just aren't showing up. We won't know until later tonight and perhaps into tomorrow, because counting those absentee ballots is a lot harder. It's a little different process, and we've been told not to expect the early kinds of returns and results that we're used to.
Does that mean we should perhaps expect surprisingly strong showings from some of the candidates who've dropped out, you know, your Amy Klobuchar or Pete Buttigieg?
Yeah,
Because
people voted early, there's no question that's one of the sort of wild cards out there as well. You could, if you had voted for a candidate who's no longer in the contest, you could go back and spoil that ballot and cast a new one, or you could show up today at the polls and cast your ballot and negate that one. The question is how many people knew that they could do that, and how many people decided to do that if their candidate dropped out. Again, these are things that won't be revealed to us until they start counting the votes and telling us what the results look like.
Yeah. And Holly, I know you've been with Bernie on the campaign trail in Michigan. How is he talking about Joe Biden now that it is effectively a two-man race? Tulsi Gabbard is still in it, and she's a woman, but she hasn't really registered in the polls.
Well, you saw Bernie kind of essentially start to talk about things that have been raised by his campaign, but that he as a candidate has been sort of reluctant to raise and go on the attack against Biden. He's gone against, he mentioned repeatedly in recent days, labor issues like Biden's support for NAFTA, which decimated many jobs in Michigan. He mentioned his vote, his support for the Iraq war. And just generally, you know, he raised issues like that we saw kind of flare up earlier in the campaign, including Biden's support for the Hyde Amendment, which talked about, you know, access to abortion. and sort of began sort of raising sort of those issues in what seemed to be a real direct appeal to younger voters. And I was also struck just, you know, I covered sort of the final days also of Elizabeth Warren's campaign, where, she sort of had this message of vote for who you like, vote for, you know, have faith and vote support for who you really like as a candidate, not who you think is electable. And you kind of heard that kind of stuff from Bernie on the stump, especially over the weekend in Grand Rapids when he had Jesse Jackson endorse him. And who got on stage and sort of said the same thing. And he said, you know, if you rally, you know, if you vote as you rally, we can win. And so those were sort of the kind of tones that we heard from him in recent days.
I asked for calls from states that are having primaries today. One of those is North Dakota. And we have a call from David in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And if I'm reading the information that you gave to our call screener correctly, David, you are not only a North Dakota voter, but you're also a candidate for attorney general there?
I was the Democratic candidate for attorney general in 2018 the 20-year Republican incumbent in this red state. So I lost, but I did better against him in a big Trump year out here than just about anybody.
Well,
I'll be voting for Joe Biden today.
And why is that?
Purely and simply, Biden, in my estimation, can beat Trump. It's very simple. This year is not the year for lofty, long-term, great policy ideas. Unfortunately, in some ways, it's a persona campaign, in my view. And I was a Bernie supporter in 2016. He won the caucuses here. This is a primary slash caucus today, and it's a voting basically in one location in major locations throughout the state. It's a little different than some places, and I just believe that Joe has a far better chance of winning, and I think that was seen on Super Tuesday. I think it'll be seen today.
Is that, as a former Bernie supporter, is it kind of painful to you to come to that conclusion?
Well, I was a big Bernie supporter in the caucuses. We saw some dirty tricks on the part of the Clinton campaign back then. But Biden is not Hillary, and Biden is, in fact, I've listened to two or three speeches, including the day I was nominated 2 years ago. Biden was the keynote speaker at our convention here in Grand Forks, and I just think that it is painful on one level, but it's such a disaster and such a serious crisis with the individual who's in the White House now that we just need to win this time.
And David, since we don't hear from North Dakota very much at all, or in particular sort of in the primary process, but really at all, give me a snapshot of what North Dakota voters are like and what North Dakota Democrats in particular are thinking about right now.
Well, obviously this is a red, this has become an increasingly red state, particularly with the western, the development of the oil patch in North Dakota since 2010. North Dakota is now the second ranking oil producing state in the country with broad scale fracking. A lot of environmental disaster out there, but that's another question. The Democratic Party in North Dakota saw a high point in 2008. Barack Obama packed the Alera Center here in town, which is an indoor football stadium, with 21,000 enthusiastic supporters. And ever since later in that campaign, North Dakota was one of the 18 battleground states identified by the Obama campaign that year, later in the campaign, you had Sarah Palin, who had an accent that was like the people up here. they identified with her, and everything kind of slid downhill from there.
Do you think what's going on with oil production with Russia and Saudi Arabia, which is probably going to hurt the oil patch that you referred to earlier, do you think that
Absolutely.
That could be kind of a wild card?
Historically in North Dakota, it's for its entire existence, the Democrats have been in the minority party. But in times of economic downturn, economic depression in the 1930s. The Democrats held the House in 1933. Again in 1983 with the farm crisis for the first time. I was working on the legislature's legal staff at that time, and I saw it firsthand. Basically, when people need help, and they didn't do it all themselves in their own minds, they need Democrats. And I don't wish economic calamity on anybody, but economic downturns have historically caused people in this state to realize that they didn't do it themselves, and if they need help, often they'll turn to the Democratic Party.
All right, David, thanks for listening out there in North Dakota, and thanks for your call. We only have a minute or two left, so I want to ask my guests, Holly Bailey and Stephen Henderson, I want you to each pick one key metric for tonight that you're going to be watching that maybe the rest of us at home can watch too. Holly, what's your key metric tonight going to be?
I'm looking at suburban voters, particularly, again, in around Grand Rapids, which I think is going to be a battleground in 2020. And it also maybe will tell us a little bit about something about what's going to happen in contests to come, including next week in Illinois and Ohio, where that sort of reflects, that those elections reflect some of the same dynamics we're seeing in Michigan.
All right. So Holly Bailey says, watch the suburbs. What about you, Stephen Henderson?
Turnout, I think it's the key to Joe Biden if he wants to win tonight here in Michigan, and it will also be the key in November. He will need to turn out a lot of people who did not vote 4 years ago in order to win both contests.
All right. My guests have been Holly Bailey, Washington Post national political reporter, who's in Arizona, was just in Michigan. Good luck on your travels, Holly. And Stephen Henderson, host of Detroit Today from Detroit Public Radio, WDET. Thank you very much to both of you.
Thank you
for having me.
Listeners, we want to invite you in on the conversation. If you have a question about something we might cover on a national news and politics show, the election, the Trump administration, the coronavirus outbreak, or anything else you think we might want to talk about on this podcast, give us a call, leave us a message with your name and where you're calling from and your question. We'll collect those and hold on to them until we have a guest on the show who can get you a good answer. The number is 844-745-TALK. That's 844-745-TALK. 8255. I'm Ilya Meritz for WNYC Studios. Thank you for listening.